Praise God, beloved. Welcome to the podcast this morning. I want you to find your Bible, King James Bible. Take it and turn to Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 8. We'll read one verse this morning. The Bible said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." I'm interested in that little word God used, whom. And I want to preach this morning, talk to you on the subject, is that who? You. God's looking for a man. Now, this would probably end up being somewhat of a missions message this morning. And we ought to have a burden and have a heart for missions. But it doesn't just have to be a missions message. It can involve any area of the service of the Lord that we would like to incorporate it in. You'll note that God's looking for someone. He's searching for a person for a specific job, a specific place, a specific calling. God's looking for a man to preach His Word. And God's looking for a people to be sold out, to be surrendered. God's looking for somebody to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do Your will. I'll preach Your Word. I'll say what You want me to say, do what You want me to do, and be what You want me to be, and go where You want me to go." Blessed be the name of God. I wish we all had the attitude of Isaiah here, that good spirit of surrender, that good spirit of submission, just submitting to the will of God for our lives. Well, there's several things we'd like to talk about this morning. First of all, I'd like to talk to you about the timing of God. Not our timing, but God's timing. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up in His train, filled the temple." It was in the year King Uzziah died. Maybe it was a time of depression, a time of defeat, a time of discouragement in the life of Isaiah. But nevertheless, God, in the year that King Uzziah died, got a hold of Isaiah and got his attention and gave him a vision. You're not going to rush God up. You're not going to slow God down. God's a God of divine timing. He calls men when He's ready for them, and he sends for laborers when He's ready for them. There's no use in you surrendering to preach if God's not called you. No use in you surrendering to missions if God's not called you. No use in you to surrender into pastor and evangelism if God has not put His divine call on your life. And in God's time, and He will call and He will see him. Brother, Christ was born right on time. Pentecost happened right on time. Well, if you're saved, you got saved right on time. I got saved right on time. God puts people in the ministry right on time. And for whatever reason, God has looked down and saw that Isaiah, he's the man, he's the one going to be doing this prophesying in the book of Isaiah. And so God puts His hand on him. Amen. A lot of people sit back and wonder, "Why, oh Lord, why?" Or it may be just a timing issue. God will put you out there. Just get usable and get submissive and get sold out and get sacrificed to God. And in God's timing, dear preacher friend, He'll put you where you need to be doing what you need to be doing. But until then, let's stay in boot camp and let's stay in the school of Christ, and let's learn of what God would have for us. Not only is God doing this in His timing, but God's looking for a man that's got some tenderness in his heart. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah also saw the Lord high and lifted up. For whatever reason, there's some tenderness in the life of Isaiah. God's looking for somebody to be tender. The Lord wants us to be. I'm not talking about being effeminate, not talking about being sissified. I'm just talking about being tender-hearted. Like the Bible said, the book of Ephesians, that we're to be kind one toward another, tender-hearted one toward another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's nothing effeminate about being tender. God wanted a man with some tenderness. It seems like those tender times in our lives, we're more apt to listen to God. It seems like in those tender times in our lives, and in the text, we might could say that this is somewhat of a trial or a tragedy for Isaiah, but whatever the case, he's being tender, and it seems like those tender times God would speak, we'd be more apt to be sensitive and to follow the leadership of God. God has got Isaiah's attention, and it's at a tender time in his life. You'll find out for 5 chapters, he's crying, "Woe is you, woe is you." But now in chapter number 6, he's crying, "Woe is me." Isaiah, I believe, has got to experience the doctrine of self-judgment in our chapter. He said, "Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me." And beloved, we've got to practice that doctrine of self-judgment. We'll look at that a little bit more here in a minute. God's not only looking for somebody that's got some tenderness, and we can emphasize the verses in the Bible that command us to be humble. Hell, we're commanded to humble ourselves up underneath the mighty hand of God, knowing that God, He will exalt us in due time. There's got to be some humility. But then nextly, He's looking for a man to sing the train. Lord, oh Isaiah, get to see the train of God, fill the temple. And I often pray, Lord, would You let Your train fill this temple, referring to my body, the body that God's given me, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God's train would fill this temple. He's wanting somebody that knows something about God. This train is a part of the garments of God, the high priest's garments. They filled the temple, and we should let them fill our temple. I ask you today, are you filled with the fullness of God? Are you filled with the Word of God? Paul said in the book of Colossians that we're to be filled with the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly with all wisdom. We're to be filled with the Scriptures. We're to be filled with prayer. We're to be filled with praise. We're to be filled with rejoicing. We're to be filled with joy. He said that I write these things unto you that your joy may be full. But we're commanded in Ephesians chapter number 5 to be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I ask this today. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? I'm not talking about a bunch of charismatic perversion, a bunch of tongue flapping and all that junk. Any of you that know me know better than that. I'm just asking you, have you giving you all and all to Jesus and let Him fill you with the sweet Holy Spirit of God? Are you controlled by the Spirit of God? Are you led by the Spirit of God? Oh, my beloved, it's important that we be Spirit-filled. But then nextly, God's looking for a man that'll be truthful. He's looking for a man that'll be honest about himself. Isaiah, here in our text, as I said a minute ago, is practicing the doctrine of self-judgment. He makes this statement. He said, "Woe is me." He said, "For I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And it's amazing to me that God never rebuked Isaiah of anything that he's confessing in our text. Isaiah gets in the presence of God, and the presence of God is enough for Isaiah to realize he's a filthy man. He's a dirty man. And we often ought to cry out in prayer to God and say, "Lord, woe is me. I'm of unclean lips." And neighbor, we ought to practice the doctrine of self-judgment. We shouldn't have to wait for a preacher to rebuke us. We shouldn't have to have our parents to rebuke us or our Sunday school teachers to reprove us or to rebuke us. But we ought to live our lives in the presence of God, and we ought to practice this doctrine of self-judgment. Amen to God, that you can get the envy, the jealousy, the malice, the backbiting, the hypocrisies, the wickedness, the evils, the envy, or the slandering tongue, the gossiping tongue. Get rid of all of it. Amen. The Bible said that Lord, the Bible said that we're to practice the doctrine of self-judgment. Amen. Now, you need to know that Uzziah, the king, he had messed up and he had sinned against God. He was trying to play the priest one day, and I think he went in to burn some incense, if I got my memory correct. And God judged him and smote him with leprosy the rest of his life. And so one leper dies, but in our text, another leper realizes he's alive, and that's Isaiah. Uzziah, the physical leper, and Isaiah, the spiritual leper. And he makes a confession of a leper and says, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean people of unclean lips." And neighbor, he makes the confession, and we ought to realize that the leper still lives. There's nothing good in our flesh. There's nothing good in this old sin nature that we still carry. Well, I know we've been delivered from sin and the penalty of it, but we haven't been delivered from the presence of it. And we ought to be truthful and be honest about ourselves. Amen. He confessed that he wasn't finished. "I'm undone." Amen. And there's still a lot of room for growth and grace in all of our lives. He has confessed his filthiness in his mouth. Now the Bible said that our tongues are set on fire of hell, and I believe every word of it, good neighbor. We ought to pray every day that our tongues not be set on fire of hell, but our tongues be set on fire of the Holy Ghost, and everywhere we go, we would set a flame of revival everywhere we go. But then he confessed that his fellowship was with the wrong people, with filthy people. He said, "I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." The Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners, good neighbor. Amen. He's being truthful. Well, you ever going to be used to God, you're going to have to get truthful about where you are. And neighbor, and I tell you, one of the best things we can do as born-again believers is get in the presence of God and ask God to let us see ourselves through His eyes, that we can see how rotten, how filthy, and how selfish, and how self-centered, and how proud, and how arrogant, and how haughty we really are. And the best of us still have struggled with these things. But God's looking for a man to be truthful. Then He's looking for a person that'll have the touch. touch of fire. He said that one of the seraphims come off the altar, and it flew off the altar unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Oh, we need some people that have been touched by the fire of God. The Bible said, for our God is a consuming fire. And the way I see it, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to His fire. And it'll burn the dross out. It'll burn the trash out. It'll burn the sin out. Oh, Lord, we need people that's got zeal about Him, and got some excitement about Him, got some energy about Him, but have been purged by the fire of Almighty Sovereign God. But then God's looking for a person to tell the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's looking for somebody to one-on-one witness to everybody they come in contact with. God's looking for somebody. You ain't got to be a preacher to be a witness. You don't have to be a preacher to get the gospel out. You can be a lady. You can be a boy. You can be a child. You can be a man. Makes no matter who you are. If you're saved by the grace of God, we've all got a command to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. It's simple. Tell them about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tell them that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and the cross of Calvary made a difference in your life. And give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother John, I really don't understand everything I need to when it comes to soul winning. Well, get your Bible out and start reading the Bible and start praying God to give you wisdom to be a soul winner. And I promise you, good neighbor, He'll do it. Amen. We need to tell the world that Jesus saves. Go to a stranger today and tell them how precious Jesus is to you. But then, God's looking for somebody to teach. Oh, the Bible said, verse number 2 and above, it stood. God's looking for somebody to teach how to stand. He's looking for somebody to teach how to supplicate. He's looking for somebody to teach how to walk with God and to fellowship with God. He's looking for somebody that'll stand the test of time. He's looking for somebody that'll stay with the truth and stay with the right. God's looking for somebody to do something. I hear the testimonies of preachers all the time. Well, I ran from God. I ran from God. Beloved, I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I don't think I ran one second, brother. I wasn't running from God. God done a work in our lives, and I was running to Him. Anything He wanted at that time in my life, I wanted to give it to Him. And God help us to be that way these days in our lives. Is that who you? God's looking for a man to do a work. Is that who you? To raise up a camp meeting? God going to use you to raise up a camp meeting? God going to use you to start a church and raise up a great work for God? Is God going to use you to be the next person to start a radio station, to be the next person to maybe get a nursing home ministry started? Oh, there ain't much to that. Yes, there is a lot to those nursing home ministries. You don't take for granted. God's not going to use us in the big things until we submit to Him. And what we would call the little things, my beloved friend, is that who you? Beloved, God be with you till we meet again.